Hello, creepies, and welcome to another middle-aged mini-episode on the Middle-Aged and Creeped Out podcast. Enjoy the show.
Hey, creepies, welcome to Middle-Aged Mini number 122. Nate is your tech engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. What's going on, guys?
Everything all at once.
122.
122.
122. That's right.
It's a big number.
Yeah.
Ginormous. Gigantic.
122.
Full of life.
I know it. Just seems like not too long ago it was 121. Weird.
Are you telling me next time it's going to be 123?
Day, don't get crazy now. Let's slow pace yourself.
These math lessons are really, really heavy.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you guys know why 6 is afraid of 7?
Didn't we have
7, 8, 9?
You got it.
Didn't we have that joke with Augie? When Augie here, when we were in our old studio, right?
One of our members at the church, old guy, he told me that. I was like, what are you telling me? He's like, 7, 8, 9. I go, all right. All right. He's a funny guy. He's a retired dentist, by the way.
Funny guy. Is he like a mushroom? He's a fun guy.
Fun guy. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Hey, I do.
I know, you do the jokes, not me.
I do like that joke, though.
I can mess him up.
Let's see here. I greeted you guys. I greeted the boys. Oh, hey, Sean.
Script, not script.
Why don't you do? And I'm not gonna skip by it on purpose this time. How about giving the special creeped out shout out? The COSO.
Is it on there?
It's right there.
It is on there, black and white. This is funny.
Stop. Here, go ahead and stop it.
This is funny.
Just read it.
Are you being funny?
No,
it's right there.
Dang it. Okay, I'm seriously having like a stroke then. Where is it? Are you being funny?
Are you being funny?
Is it not on there?
Yeah, it's on.
Mine says the Mako Creepies.
Oh, my gosh. Son of a gun. I'm looking for this big, like, paragraph. Okay. So, creeped out shout out is the Mako Creepies.
You know why I didn't put a paragraph? Because we can pretty much say what we want about our creepies. We don't have to, like, give.
I will look. As soon as I was
that
like.
That is hilarious.
It even says,
I thought he was kidding.
I'm serious. Like, well, okay. So I've had a day. Do you want to hear about this?
No.
You don't want to hear about it.
No. I want. You, okay. Hold on. Hanan, as Olivia used to say. She goes, Hanan.
Hanan.
Sean, you want to give out the creeped out shout out?
I do. It's for the Mako Creepies.
Awesome. Great job. Nailed it.
I'm serious. I'm like, it's not on my sheet. It says Sean, but all I saw was creeped out shout out. And then I'm like,
showing me, Nate.
I'm like, there's nothing on there.
Like, hey.
That's what I get for not looking at it, right? I just assumed that I would be able to handle it with the prestige that I have of the other.
You failed.
Your zeros just went.
Kid you not. After my doctor's appointment this morning, which tells you a whole lot, right? Neighbor who is the mother of used to be our babysitter. She's like, hey, Sean, how's it going? And I was just as I'm going into work, clocking in. No, I didn't know who she was. swear to God, she goes, hey, Sean. And I turn around. She goes, do you know who I am? And I'm like, I go,
that's funny.
And she goes, your neighbor? And I go, Laura. And I was like, hi, Laura. She's having her first grandchild.
You're literally your neighbor, like next door neighbor.
I'm telling you, I've had this kind of a day. And so she had dyed her hair. To be fair, she dyed her hair. And she even said, she goes, out of context. I said, I'm sitting here looking, trying to figure out, are you somebody who works here? Because it was in the employee parking. So I'm like.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, totally didn't. And so then I told her, I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm like, my brain is like not working.
Or your eyes.
And then, I had several instances of that like today where it was just my brain might as well have. Oh, I put, I wish somebody happy birthday. Happens to be a female, right, on Facebook. And I swear I put happy birthday with some emojis. It came out beautiful. Happy birthday. That's it.
Nice.
And so she put a heart on there like, hey, thanks.
Nice.
And I even put on there, I have no idea how it came across, beautiful happy birthday. And she goes, I figured it was just a typo. And I said, it's either a typo or I had a stroke. And she goes, let's go with typo. And I'm like, so I assume Jenna didn't see. If she did, she's probably like, what in the world is that?
I've
had a red letter day today.
It's
a little more than you need for a mini, but.
Yeah, that's great excuses. I thought the COSO should be our wonderful creepies, and we can probably figure out what to say about them. We
love them.
Yes, we do. We love them.
They forgive us for things like this.
Mm-hmm. We appreciate them. They're support and their interaction on our social media and listening to our podcast, which is the main thing. And
what, they listen to it?
Some of them, yeah.
My mental distress on here.
So I thought, you know what? We got to give a COSO to the Mako Creepies. That's why I
could tell
out
that something was up when you guys weren't stopping the recording, because Norman's like, okay, stop. I've got the wrong paper. Or I grabbed the wrong one. And you're like, oh, let it flounder. I love watching it flounder.
Too bad it's not on video.
Faces. Did you guys know that this?
I honestly, I thought you'd see it, like the Mako Creepies.
No, I'm just, I thought you'd read the.
Now, that's how he's used to the. He's used to seeing.
Like, I am, and I'm looking for it.
Paragraph where, like,
it's not there. It's not there.
Read the black and white. It's right there.
But we enjoy these.
I thought you guys were playing with me. I'm like,
Son of a gun.
No, we love our creepies though. Mm-hmm. That's they deserve the creeped out shout out. So thought maybe that'd be a good choice. How about that?
I agree.
And we some of them are gonna go to the live show and on locations, and some of them bought a little merch here and there. So yeah, there you go.
Here, there, and everywhere.
Creeped out shout out to the Mako Creepies, and we appreciate you guys very much, by the way, even though Sean doesn't really like you. No, I'm sorry.
Oh, wait a minute. No, we're not starting a turf war. We got one turf war that's still not finished, right?
Oh. So, yes. If you guys don't have anything else to say about the Mako Creepies, other than they're just
how much we love
people.
Them.
That's right.
And we appreciate them.
I'm going to turn it over to you, Sean, for what are we going to talk about this mini?
This is my topic. And it is the Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Never heard of it.
Oh, you liar. Lies
Sounds
all
made
lies.
Up, Nate.
It is made up.
Why is he green?
He's the Gill Man.
It's a black lagoon, so why?
Well,
is he
the
green?
He's not the Black Lagoon, though. He just swims in
and
the
how
Black
can
Lagoon.
You, yeah, and how can you see him if it's black? I mean,
it's a 3D black lagoon.
It's a throw this out. We're done.
Yeah, it's a 3D movie, though. You can see
it all went downhill at the shout out.
Should
see.
We start this all over?
No. This might be my favorite.
No, never. Oh, this is going to top elves or leprechauns or whatever.
Leprechauns
is my favorite mini. This is one of the classics.
It is.
That's true.
How about a little foundation?
So Creature from the Black Lagoon is a 1954 American black and white 3D monster horror film produced by William Aland and directed by Jack Arnold from a screenplay by Harry Essex and Arthur Ross and a story by, oh my gosh, so many people involved in it. The film's plot follows a group of scientists who encounter a... I'm going to say something naughty, apparently. A piscine amphibious humanoid. Let's just say amphibious humanoid. Hmm. In the waters of the Amazon, the creature, also known as the...
Oh, a piscine.
Gillman. Is that how you say that? Mm-hmm. Okay, so like Pisces. Mm-hmm. Piscine or piscine. Mm-hmm. The creature, also known as Gillman, was played by Ben Chapman on land and by Rico Browning underwater. Which they said that he didn't even use like goggles or anything when he was doing this stuff. Like he did it. I don't even know how you would do that. Produced and distributed by Universal, Creature from the Black Lagoon premiered in Detroit on February 12th, 1954, and was released on a regional basis, opening on various dates.
Nice.
They say that like the original monsters, you know, the 30s and 40s, you know, Dracula, Frankenstein, all that good stuff. Wolfman, and those
Never
were
heard of
huge hits. And then they said the monster genre started to fade. And they said that this idea came about in the 40s, and they started talking about it, you know, having somebody like, you know, a merman or whatever, and they wanted to kind of take this into a backdrop of science and the investigation of the unknown. And so they really... They were taking a bit of a risk because it was a new monster idea, but it really resonated with people, and it's still now we see it as one of the legendary, you know, old movie monsters. But at the time, it was a new leap into a character that was scary and unknown, and you know, the possibility that there are creatures that are humanoids that we don't know about. Heck, we still think like that now, right? And all the cryptids and everything.
Yeah, true.
But yeah, so it was. To me, when I was a kid, I remember seeing this, and it scared me to death. And it's black and white, but they say the way they did it, especially the fact that the first one was... There's three of these, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I only remember seeing the first one. I've never seen the second one or the third one.
I have seen the second one. The... what's it? Is it The Revenge of the...
The Revenge, yeah. What's it? Where it comes on land,
It's 1955. And guess who was in that? So, okay. So
it's The Revenge of the Creature, and that was in 55.
Okay, so that one right there.
Yeah.
I've seen, obviously, the one we're going to talk about, and I've seen The Revenge of the Creature. So the 1955, my mom and dad and I think I was, I don't know, 12, was on a Saturday night, mm-hmm. and Channel 4 did, you know, horror film. This isn't Sammy Terry, but anyway, it was the 3D. So Hook's mm-hmm. drugstore, you could go and get
the glasses.
Get the glasses, right? So we did that and went home, and then, and anyway, it worked. It actually did work. Young Clint Eastwood.
That was his first film.
Debut. Mm-hmm. He was like 22 or 23.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, young. He was in the second one.
Yep. Watching the videos on this.
Because we were watching
that.
My dad goes, he's very my young. Gosh, that's Clint Eastwood. And I even knew.
And now he's, 91 or whatever?
Yeah.
Or
and I'm like, or... oh, my gosh, it is. Yeah. So
cool.
A young Clint.
That mm-hmm. is good. See, the first two were 3D, and then they only did 2D for the last one, which was The Creature Walks Among Us, which was, seemed like a kind
and
of strange.
And then they did R2-D2.
They did R2,
and R5-D4. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, so this did scare the crap out of me, too, though, as a kid. I was like, holy moly, it did. Not as bad as The Exorcist, but it scared me, that's for sure. It is a classic, as Nate said.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. $1.3 million at the box office.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I would say that's pretty real.
Yeah,
good.
For that time.
Oh, gosh.
Mm-hmm.
About $1 billion now.
Yeah, and they said even like at that time doing the underwater scenes are actually really well done, all things considered, especially you know, with the technology we have now.
The cinematography is great.
There it really mm-hmm. is. And it's so creepy. Like, you know, there is a love triangle, you know, and then you've got two guys, you know, you got the guy that wants to catch him and capture him, and then you got the guy that wants to protect her, and you know, there's that juxtaposition between the leading man that you love and the leading man that you're kind of, you know, you're not rooting for. And then, of course, the Gill man that you feel sorry for him, but you're also terrified of him. And you can tell, like, I like the fact, and they talked about this in a lot of the videos that I watched about. It was, you know, with the female character and then the Gill man, how she's repulsed by him. And she's beautiful, and then he is repulsive to us and unknown and scary. But he also, like, the scene, which ends up being a very long scene where she's swimming, and he's swimming along with her and getting about as close as he possibly can
yep.
without her knowing that he's there. But he is... there is an under, and they say that of course there is that underlying like sexual tension there too. And he's, when he like takes her away to his lair or whatever, it's this under, you know, he's finally like, you know, broken through to be, you know, like to try to connect with her and all this kind of stuff. But there is that like underlying tension of sexual tension. And, but she's still just, you know, abhorred by him. Like,
oh yeah. Terrified.
Yeah, exactly. So it's, but you do, it's like other movie monsters. You feel sorry for them, you feel sad for them, you know, and ultimately there's this brush with the unknown, you know, and this mm-hmm. trying to, you know, do they really want to understand him for, you know, altruistic, or do they just want to hunt him and make sure that he doesn't hurt anybody else, you know? And so there's just so many different ways to look at how they go about, you know. I think honestly, you know, if you came across this creature, you'd just be scared to death, you know,
yeah.
like honestly, any kind of a cryptid, we'd be like, I don't understand. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Let's get your gun out, shoot him, you know, make sure he doesn't hurt anybody. So I can't even imagine. And then this makes you think, like, especially watching that swimming scene, next time you swim in a lake, you just think like, oh God, what's underneath of me following me? You know what I mean? Like my brain, even in the ocean, you think about like a shark falling underneath of you or some kind of a barracuda or something, but like not a Gill man or not like a merman or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, now, you know, you might think about that when you see that kind of, that's the kind of stuff that stuck with me as a kid though.
It's right.
Like, oh gosh, what's in this water?
Right.
Hmm.
The Gill man.
Yeah, they said the costume made sitting impossible for Chapman for the 14-hour
oh gosh
hours.
How uncomfortable that would be.
And he wore it. And made overheating easy. So due to the difficulties, he would often stay in the studio's backlot lake, frequently requesting to be hosed down. He could not see very well while wearing the headpiece either, and it caused him to scratch Julie Adams' head against the wall
oh.
when he carried her into the grotto scene.
Oh. mm-hmm. Yeah, It is a heck of a costume. You know, it did. It terrified me. Those claws and the whole thing. And there's like just the face. Just like it doesn't. I don't know. It's just.
Oh wow.
And
then what do you say, Rico Browning?
Mm-hmm.
Played him while he's in the water. Ben Chapman when he did the Gilman on the dry land. That was in California, Universal City, California. The water scenes were shot at Wakulla Springs, Florida. And while filming underwater, Browning reportedly held his breath for up to 4 minutes at a time.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man.
4 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. He said, if you're not doing anything at all, 4 minutes is possible. But not if you're moving in the water. If you're swimming fast or fighting, you use up a lot of oxygen.
Yeah,
and
crazy.
It cuts down, or it cuts it down to, at the most, 2 minutes.
That gone.
So, yeah.
That's impressive. Yeah, I can't do 4 minutes.
Heck no.
Well, not to mention, you're got a headpiece on, too, so that's going to be full of water. So
yeah.
Which is just creepy to look at, by the way.
You couldn't just...
Oh, I know.
Like, instantaneously get up out of the water. Now you got to get the headpiece off, too, so that you're not, you know, it's full of water.
You'd think there would be some major anxiety with that.
Oh, yeah.
They hired the right guy to do it.
Looking at that headpiece is just creepy in general. You know, like, it's just, I don't know. Like I said, as a kid, it really sticks in my mind of... definitely on the list of top 20 things that scared the crap out of me.
Says the title character of Creature from the Black Lagoon is both beautiful and terrifying, which I agree. A prehistoric humanoid who lives in the Amazon River, surfacing the Menace, a boat full of Yankee explorers in lust after a beautiful young woman on their crew. And then it says he has long taloned fingers and a round head with fins where humans would have ears protecting his gills. His body is covered in segmented armor. In repose, the creature breathes slowly and stares straight ahead. He almost looks as if he's meditating. Seen in shadow or silhouette, his outline evokes demonic or supernatural figures from medieval paintings and poems. A damned knight who has come back from hell to wreak havoc. That is a description.
Right?
That is, yeah, and it says the Gill Man, as he was later nicknamed by fans, is the best reason to rewatch the original 1954 film. And like, as you said, it was released on 4K. Yeah.
It's one that, like, when I want my kids to watch old monster movies, it's one of them that you're like, oh, we got to watch this, you know, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Leonard Maltin awarded the film 3 out of 4 stars, writing, archetypal 50s monster movie had been copied so often that some of the edge is gone, but it's still entertaining with juicy atmosphere and luminous underwater photography sequences. Film review aggregator, a website, Rotten Tomatoes, has an approval rating of 80% based on 44 reviews with an overall rating of 7.10 out of 10. The consensus calls it a solid atmospheric creature feature that entertains without attempting to be deeper than it needs. The film is recognized by American Film Institute for two distinct things. That was in 2001. It was part of AFI's 100 Years, 100 Thrills. It was nominated. And in 2003, AFI's 100 Years, 100 Heroes and Villains, The Gill Man was nominated for one of the best villains.
Mm.
Oh. Just nominated. It's just an honor to be nominated.
But then as an adult, though, like you, I can see it as a different, or I see it differently than as a kid, because I'm like, man, I feel bad for him, because all he wants is two completely different worlds. One's a human, and he's obviously a water creature, and it's like they can never have a relationship, but that's what he wants, you know?
Uh-huh.
And so you kind of feel bad as an adult now. I'm like, oh, man, it's too bad he's just lonely. Just a lonely little guy. Gill Man. Gill Man.
And in 1954, the actress that played the leading lady, they said that was a big, like, scandalous, you know, like, whoa, she's not wearing much. Whoa,
oh, yeah.
You know, made it past the censor just barely.
A lot of legs showing.
To us, it's not a big deal. But back then, it was like, now, wait a minute. What are we doing here? But that's a huge part of the... The lure of this movie.
Mm-hmm. says, if you think about the film's images in context of movies that followed, you realize how artistically as well as commercially influential it was. Squint hard enough and you can see trace elements of both the Unstoppable Stalker horror movie, represented by everything from Halloween and Friday the 13th to the original Alien, Westworld, and The Terminator. You can also see the future of aquatic monster movies like Jaws and its countless imitators. The shots of the monster's quarry, researcher Kay Lawrence, or Julie Adams, obliviously swimming in her pristine white bathing suit while the gill man backstrokes behind her in murky blackness, are a premonition of the iconic lobby poster for the original Jaws.
They said that there was, in some of these videos, they were talking about that there's an undertone of the science of the day, and then also some hinting of, like, environmentalism, because they showed, like, when they were trying to spray him, you know, underwater and get it, you know, like, how poisoning his environment and all these kind of things, and or throwing the cigarette butt, you know, and it floating down to him, like... Hey, wait a minute. This is my home. You know, would you throw a cigarette butt in your home? So it was kind of, there were some undertones there too. I thought that was kind of interesting for that, that year. There were some failed, remake attempts in 1982, 1992.
I didn't even know they tried those.
I didn't either. Honestly, that was news to me. Yeah. It said in 82, John Landis wanted Jack Arnold to direct a remake of the film. In 1992, John Carpenter was developing a remake. Originally hired Bill Phillips to write the script, blah, 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 but the project never got the green light. So, and they were going to do it 3D. They were making a 3D model of the creature and trying to get everything adapted, and it just never took.
I found a page of, like, goofs and errors through the movie.
Yeah.
It's saying, every time the creature climbs onto the boat, there's no disturbance or rocking of the boat, and no one notices. This would not be possible on a boat that size in the water with a creature that size.
Right.
The creature is never noticed as it sneaks up on people, which again would not be possible for the creature that size on land or coming out of water.
Well, aren't they just picky? Yeah. That's true. That's not a huge boat. It's gonna, yeah. That creeped me out as a kid. That's when, like, the underwater scene when she has no idea he's there. But then when he gets on the boat, and I'm like, turn around, you're gonna get, yeah. Just the stalk, yeah. The more the stalking,
yeah.
The slow moving. He's approaching, and then they're kind of clueless. Yeah.
I think it's interesting. Oh, so this I didn't know about this, but back in '95 they tried to make it with Peter Jackson direct a remake, and he went towards King Kong instead.
Oh yeah.
So King Kong won out, and then they were trying to do it again in the 90s and 2000s, and The Mummy actually won out, so they started trying to do The Mummy.
Frasier.
So
which I've never seen.
You've not seen that? So but then it looks like there's so many times that they're trying to boot it and reboot it and all this stuff. Boot it, but it's got booted, and it sounds like. But so maybe one of these days, right?
Yeah. Tell us a little more of the goose, and then we'll wrap it up.
In one shot where Rita is sailing upriver into the lagoon, a telephone pole can be seen in the background just above the trees.
Oh. Well, wait a minute. How the heck did that happen?
When Dr. Thompson is awesome. Guarding the creature, the lever on his lever action rifle is missing.
Ah, okay. Interesting. I love the telephone pole.
When Rita is sailing up the Amazon River, as opposed to on the lagoon, the water is generally still river water, which should be moving more than it is shown.
Okay.
In the cave, when the gill man lifts David over his head, the wires lifting David into the air are faintly visible, then can be seen snapping loose as the gill man lowers him back to the ground.
I think there's a picture of her get like the leading lady hitting her head or something, right? You didn't say anything about that, did you?
Yeah, he said he got too close because he couldn't see very well through the mask, and so he brushed her head up against the wall.
But there's a famous there's a picture that I kept seeing about this. The Gill Man's got his hat or his hat. Helmet. What am I trying to say?
Mask.
His mask. Off, and then he's like leaning over, and they're all looking like concerned. So, I one other thing I didn't notice. Have you guys ever seen the movie The Shape of Water? I know it, but it was 2017. Mm-hmm. It is. It was inspired by Guillermo de Toro's childhood memories of the creature from the Black Lagoon. He wished to see the Gill Man and the film's co-star succeed in their romance. But yeah, that's I've never seen it, but it was
never heard of it.
Supposed to be a big hit. It's a romantic fantasy, I guess. But yeah, I'll have to catch that sometime. But there was tie-ins to the creature from the Black Lagoon. So.
Okay.
Have to watch that and figure that out.
What's the name of it again?
The Shape of Water.
Shape of Water.
Yeah, it's in 2017. It's before COVID. No,
I like Del Toro. He's a good actor. Good
director.
Director. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anything else you want to add to this? It is. No. It's definitely a classic. It's a. It's.
I want to go rewatch it. I wanted to watch it before we talked about it, but now I want to actually really go watch it.
And when you pick this topic, I was like, I instantly went to the Saturday night that I watched it with my mom and dad, you know, going to Hook's, getting our glasses and then getting the candy and it was, and just going back home and then watching just for them and having fun. Yeah. It's like, ah, what a memory. Good childhood memory for me. So, yeah, good pick. It's a good mini pick. So.
Like I said, brings back a lot of memories.
Yeah.
A lot of black memories. Black Lagoon memories. Mm. Dark. Mm. Yes. Sinister. No.
Yes. Nate, what do you have for us?
Well, if we're done swimming around this lagoon, I'm going to say it's a wrap.
I think we're done.
All right.
It's a wet wrap.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Nate.
Splash.
And we want to thank you, Creepies, for listening to our middle-aged mini number 122 and our fun discussion on the classic horror movie Creature from the Black Lagoon. And until next time, we'll talk to you later.
Bye.
See ya.
Is it on there?
It's right there.
It is on there, black and white.
Where the heck is it? Shoot, did I not?
This is funny.
Stop. Here, go ahead and stop it.
This is funny.
Do I not have...